The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant AM Radio.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Championship Wrestling, bringing you great wrestling action, sanctioned by the NWA, National Wrestling Alliance.
Later on in this program today, David, we're going to have a chance to talk with the World Heavyweight Champion, Nature Boy Ric Flair. I know there's a lot of questions that I would like to ask him that you would like to ask
him
also.
A lot of questions. What Ric Flair did, as you all know, Dusty Rhodes was not here last week
That's right. To
defend his title. You heard Arn Anderson up front saying that now he's the champion. Dusty Rhodes, he won't talk about it. And let's go to the tape right now and show you fans exactly why Dusty won't talk and see if we can make sense out of what Ric Flair did.
David, what we're watching right now, Ric Flair is the winner of the match, as you can see, with Tommy Young.
This is against Nikita Koloff.
Against Nikita Koloff.
Hey, look, Ivan is coming in, because I was there. Ivan came in, and look, they're double-teaming Ric. They've got the world champion down, pounding away on him. Crusher's outside, keeping the referee out.
Typical Russian style right here.
Three on one. They're in there beating on Ric. Look at, now they're choking him. They're dropping the elbows on him. The guy just doesn't have a chance against the three of them.
Not at all. You see the champion, Nature Boy Ric Flair, being taken.
All right, now, see down at the corner? There's Dusty. All right, he gets Crusher out of the way. All right, he's going in there. Nobody asked him to go in there. He goes in, and now, look at it. Nikita goes after him. Now he takes care of Ivan. Look at him. He rams Ivan into the fist. He's coming in there to help Ric Flair.
Well, it was a situation where, you know, the American Dream comes in. It's a three-on-one situation. He comes in to help the champion out, and now he cleans out.
All right. He came in there to help Ric Flair. You don't see him try to beat him. You don't see him try to hurt him. He came in there to help Ric. Now he's over there. He's looking around, just checking.
Notice all the fans at ringside are cheering on the American Dream.
It looks like Ric is reaching for Dusty's hand, but then he starts to point his finger. At what? Dusty came in there to help.
David, left of your screen.
There, right there.
Here comes Ole Anderson. Here comes Arn Anderson. We've seen them do this many times before. A two-on-one situation, but it's going to develop into something more than that.
That's right. And I think Ric at first, you know, he's dazed. I thought he was going to come over to help Dusty. Do you see Anderson still pounding away? But look what Ric does. He's locking the gate. He's locking it so nobody can get in. There you see it. He's locked. Dusty in there with the Andersons and Ric. So now it's three on one, but this time it's the Andersons and Ric Flair. Look at Ric, what he does to Dusty. Why?
Three on one, but not only three on one. Three on one in the cage. The cage is locked. No one. There'll be no one.
I want to know why.
Can interfere right now with what Flair and the Andersons have planned for Dusty Rhodes.
Now look at Ric. He's directing the Andersons. They want Dusty, or Rick wants Dusty at the exact place. Look at Rick. Now, he wants to position him. I'm going to show you why. I was totally amazed.
I couldn't believe it. I was watching it either.
He's up on that top rope, stands there, and jumps right down on Dusty's ankle. Then he goes and he puts that figure four on.
The figure four leg lock, the trademark of Nature Boy Ric Flair on Dusty Rhodes.
All right, that's not all. Now let's go back, and I want to show you some more of this. Show you exactly what kind of man Ric Flair and the Andersons are. All right, there. He's got that figure four on Dusty, okay?
Now keep in mind, David, the cage is locked there. You see it's locked. Terry Taylor, Magnum TA, Sam Houston. They're all trying to get in. They're all trying to help out Dusty Rhodes. But like you said, the cage is locked.
The Rock and Roll Express, they're out there trying to get in. Everybody's trying to get in. There you see them. Trying to climb the fence. There you see Sam Houston almost at the top. They see Magnum trying to yank at that chain, trying to get it. Trying to break it. They're working on it. They're trying to get that lock off. You see, now they finally got it. They got the door open. Magnum comes in. All right, now everybody starts coming in. The Andersons are trying to get out now, just like the cowards and rats they are. Where's Ric Flair? He's trying to get out too. See, all three of them are trying to get out. Dusty's laid in the ring. He's laid up in the ring. Now they go back. Magnum now. Trying to defend him.
This is absolute pandemonium.
There's Dusty.
Yeah, Dusty is obviously down, obviously very injured at this time. Nothing he can do. As Ric Flair and the Andersons.
Our world champion, Ric Flair. You know, every part of, you know, Dusty, you see Dusty moving around except that leg. You know, he is, you see.
Now everybody's going to get in and check out Dusty as Flair and the Andersons leave the ring area. These tapes released by the National Wrestling Alliance just this past week. And it's our first really good chance to look at it. But David, we were there at ringside. You were there. And you saw exactly what happened. Dusty, in a lot of pain, was put into an airplane.
All right, quickly. There you see Terry. Terry and I talked just for a second. He's gone back wisely to get some stuff for Dusty. I'm going in there. I just can't believe what happened.
No, the Rock and Roll.
Everybody is sitting, still trying to figure out why Dusty, he is in pain.
He really is. And it's just total disbelief. All the fans at ringside right now looking at Dusty. As we said, finally, they got to look at Dusty.
Oh. Yeah, we're trying to help him. And, you know, the pain is such, I'm trying to get him calmed down a little bit so we can take care of him.
But now keep in mind also with the cage around the
That's
ring,
right.
Getting Dusty some medical attention is right. Not an easy thing to do.
We've asked him to over there. Now I've got. We're cutting his pants. I had a pen knife in my pocket, so cutting his pants. Because, you know, we've got to do something about that ankle. You know, I've seen enough to know that. Hey, something's wrong with it. All right, he's got that boot on, so we got to figure out a way to get that. You know, he can't pull that boot off, right?
No, here comes
right,
Terry.
No, yeah, all right, Terry. He's got some ice. He's got a towel and some other stuff to wrap it with. We got to get his boot off. So, because with an injury, any injury, like you need to go ahead and put ice on. All right, at least we've got Dusty calmed down enough to where we can actually work on him right there a little bit. We've got to keep on reassuring him that, hey, there you see him. Hey.
Look at the paint on his face.
That's right.
You've got to really be concerned.
Have you ever seen Dusty like this? Look at him.
Really got to be really concerned about the career of Dusty Rhodes. At this point, now finally they're going to get the cage down to put him into the stretcher, put him on that private airplane, and fly him to his doctor in Charlotte, North Carolina to get that examined. Still, as you can see, the fans at ringside, I mean, it's just total amazement right now. Everyone is just quiet, watching what's going on. David, you're right there with it.
And again, I have to go back. Here's the man that came in to help Ric Flair when the three Russians were on him. And then Rick turns around with the Andersons, and they jump on Dusty.
Well, you know, you could say, hey,
and look what they did. And they busted up his ankle.
You can say Dusty's the man that really
and
saved Ric Flair's neck just moments before.
That's right.
Look what they do to him.
And, you know, no one's talked to Dusty. Or Dusty really hadn't said anything. He's just...
No, you know, I understand. We've tried
right,
to...
Now, see, we're trying to... I don't want to... You don't want to touch it. Anyway, we've got the ice. We've got the bandage. Just want to let him take care of that part. He knows where he hurts. So we've got to let the leg hang there for a second until we get him down. Got to ease him down.
20 seconds.
Slowly ease him down. And Dusty, at that time, yeah, and rightly so, he said he doesn't trust anyone because, you know, here's a friend, supposedly a friend, Ric Flair, that turned around on him. Now he's asking his close friends. Didn't want any outsiders. He wants his close friends to take care of him. Well, and they took him back, and then we got him on the plane and you know, got him to Charlotte.
Well, like we said, the fact is that Nature Boy Ric Flair, the world heavyweight champion, is with us here today.
I've got some questions for that guy.
A lot of questions we're going to have for that man when he comes.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Six-man tag team title here today on our Superstation Championship Challenge Series, and I'm joined by Jim Crockett, president of Jim Crockett Promotions, for the announcement for our match of next week.
That's right. Next week, we're going to have a great match for the U.S. Heavyweight Championship. Tully Blanchard with his perfect 10, as he says. Baby Doll will take on Cowboy Ron Bass.
That's for our Superstation Championship Challenge Series for that U.S. Heavyweight title.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Never let me be one to interrupt a brilliant conversation, but not very often do I have an opportunity to corner the biggest wrestling promoter in the world. Obviously, this is the biggest show in the world. I want to be part of it. I want to know, and I'm not asking you, Tony Schiavone, I'm asking Jim Crockett, when are you going to find the caliber of competition that makes Ric Flair go up and down? We all know this is the number one rated program in the whole world. Why not put the number one man on it?
I'm sure we can find many takers for your challenge, but first I'd like to hear an explanation of what that videotape we just saw.
You know, day in and day out, I've got to realize the fact that each day of my life, I'm the most superior athlete alive today. And I stand out here looking for competition. I don't see Ronnie Garvin or superstar Billy Graham or Tully Blanchard.
Excuse me, Mr.
I don't
Flair.
See anybody jumping on me.
Mr. Flair, if you're not going to give us an explanation, I'm going to leave. We have a great match coming up.
Mr. Crockett, when you're the world heavyweight champion, you don't have to answer questions to anybody except yourself.
All right, well... Jim Crockett asking Ric Flair about the videotape that we saw, and obviously Flair not making any comment on that at all. But one thing is for sure, our Superstation Championship Challenge Series of next week. A lot of things are going on, Magnum TA. And you.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the King of Bada Bing, the Master, the Diamond Cutter, the three-time world champion and WWE Hall of Famer. And you, monkeys, well, you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bang!
Eastern on a Superstation tonight.
We are back on World Championship Wrestling. Here's the World Heavyweight Champion, Nature Boy Ric Flair. Rick, as an announcer on World Championship Wrestling, as an employee of Jim Crockett Promotions, I've got to ask you, why, with a man who has done it all, do what he did to the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, why would something like that happen?
Well, let me just turn things around and ask you a question. What makes you think that I got to tolerate a guy that makes $1,000 a week when I make $500,000 a year just wrestling? So when you think you can put yourself in a position...
Wait a minute, Rick,
I'm talking
that has nothing to do with it. Why did you go and hurt Dusty? He came in there to help you against the Russians, right? Didn't he save you? The three of those guys are beating up on you. He comes in the ring and tries to help you. And what do? You turn
you know,
around
David
and bust
Crockett,
his ankle up.
I'm on a very limited schedule.
Well, then answer the question.
And as hard as it might be for you to understand what a real important man does with his time, take a look at this watch. You got about another 6 minutes of my time because I got places to go.
Who
you know?
Cares about the watch? Answer the question.
David, day in and day out, this magnificent life, I wake up knowing that I'm the best there is and I know, and I'm going to use one of your
cliches. Maybe you're afraid that you aren't the best.
I'm going to use one of your cliches.
Is that why you put him out?
I am better than the system. Now, if you got a problem with a few friends of yours that aren't men enough to handle a big man sport, then you go sit with them and leave pro wrestling to me. And the men that think they can walk the walk
of you. And talk three of you, right?
If you're talking about me and the Andersons,
yeah.
That's right. We are family. And we'll beat up anybody. Come on down here, honey. Come on down here. Let me ask you a question. Come on in here. Hey, right. By very popular demand, I hear a bunch of $2 funkies out there. What's causing all this? This is wrestling's birthday right there. You know what? That's something your family bought and paid for because he's a national champion. You understand that? You see this? This is bought and paid for by the National Wrestling Alliance with your family
and you
is a member of.
Right?
For
right.
3.5 years, brother,
it's been
glued to me like
just,
a lot of women I know.
I'm going to show you. All right, we had Dusty's doctor.
Dr. Joseph Aswanek,
right.
Charlotte, North Carolina. We talked to him about the serious, the nature of the injury to Dusty Rhodes. I think we all take like a look at it right here.
I'm here at the Natchalina Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. We're here with Dr. Aswanek to talk about Dusty Rhodes and his injury. All the fans would like to know the extent of his injury.
Third-degree ankle sprains are severe injuries of the soft tissue about the ankle. Often, soft tissue injury will swell as much as a small break or a small fracture. So that when one is dealing with a third-degree ankle sprain, we're including injuries to the associated ligaments around the ankle, the tendons, and all the tissues that support, especially the outside or lateral side of the ankle. And our concerns, of course, are the amount of disruption or tear or sprain of those tissues and all the swelling that it causes.
All right, an injury of that type, what would be the, let's say, recovery time?
Obviously, the problem is somewhat unpredictable. It, again, depends on the care that was taken initially. It depends on the treatment given, such as casting, his rehabilitation, and his potential for healing such an injury.
All right, you mentioned about the care that was taken before. You were told about the care. What care did that help?
I thought that very excellently followed the recommendations. When one is injured, if you can splint and hold that injury still, and if you can apply ice to the injury and not make the mistake of applying heat initially, then you can really decrease the amount of swelling that you get initially. And, of course, the less swelling you have to start with, the less you have to get rid of.
All right, the cast that is on his ankle right now, that is basically to keep him his ankle immobile, so you'll have time to judge some more of the extent of his injury.
With a third-degree sprain, tissues are stretched, and we don't like to cast minor injuries because it does slow people down in the recovery. But when it's very severe, we need to rest those tissues, allow those tissues which have been stretched out of position to get somewhat overlapped so that they can heal tight again. And that's the purpose of the cast. And we don't use this for the full recovery, but it allows us to get some initial healing and initial control of swelling.
All right, do you have anything for, let's say, our fans out there playing sports that might have an injury like that? What should they do right at first?
Splint or rest the injury. Do not use the hot water and Epsom salts. Do use ice, and many trainers are going with ice through the entire recovery. Please don't make the mistake of using heat initially on an injury.
Well, David, Rick, there we saw it from Dr. Joseph Aswanek, Charlotte, North Carolina, and I know you took a look at it as well as we did, a very serious injury. Very serious.
A moment ago, we had a tendency to start hollering at each other.
That's right.
So let's just tone this down and tell like it is. This is professional wrestling. It's the most grueling sport of all professional sports. I am the world's heavyweight champion.
I don't cry. Again. I've been stabbed. I've been hit by chairs. I've been beat up by everybody.
What's the matter?
But the bottom line is,
all we ask
I'm talking right now. Let me tell you something. If you like talking to me on this show, you'll let me talk when I'm out here.
The question.
The bottom line for these people right here is, if you're a man, you don't cry about it. You take life, the ups and downs. If you're a real man, you never go down, you just stay up. That's why I'm the world champion. That's why this sport coat costs $800, and that costs $200. And I don't know what that costs, I'd be ashamed to wear it. That's why I'm wearing lizard shoes and a Rolex watch, and I got a limousine sitting out there a mile long with 25 women just dying for me to go, woo, because I'm the world champion, sucker. And I don't care if you and your brother are the strongest promotion in the world. Nobody's going to take this from me unless it's done in the ring. And Dusty Rhodes, brother, I hope you live through it, brother. Because if by chance you ever get that wheel operating again, you remember Ric Flair and the Andersons don't like people sticking their nose in their own personal business.
World heavyweight champion.
I hate to say it, but he should have left you there for the Russians.
David, you know what I like about you? You always have something nice to say about me.
That's right.
But next time you have an opportunity, talk to your accountant and look who built the building you guys' office in. Woo!
You know, figured I'd do that before I do anything else. So maybe someone join us in the chat room. I don't know, maybe. It'd be cool if you guys could hear me. Somebody can jump on and clarify that before we get started. A couple people jump on first. Flip back and forth to the basketball game, see what's going on here as well. All right, they're up by 3. It's not too bad. Not too bad. Waiting for some folks to jump on. I guess they don't want to get around. It is like a Wednesday night, but I didn't realize the day it was until later on in the day. And then Shaylin posted the clip. She beat me to it, and I want to jump on her shine. So I was going to jump on, say hello to everybody, see how everybody's doing. Hope everybody's doing well. Nobody in the cut here? Nobody's around, huh? Something went wrong, he says. Oh, you hear me? Oh, good. Hey, what's up, Dave? What's up, Lou? What's up, Randy? All right. Good. The chat thing is delayed. That's why I couldn't tell if you guys can hear me or not. So, how's everybody doing? Everybody's doing well, I hope. It's a little sudden that I jump on, but I was gonna record on Friday. I might just make this a podcast. I'm not even sure, depending on how I feel. But I figured I'd jump on here. We talk about hard times. Will you go lay down, please? Now my cat wants to be annoying. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody's doing well. I'm flip-flopping TV right now. I got Sacramento and the Bulls. Because when the Knicks aren't playing, I root for the Kings. It's a long story. Goes back to my childhood. And then I'm watching AEW. And there's nothing else on. World Series has been really good. I've been enjoying that. And I did watch a little bit of Raw on Monday. That was pretty fun. Setting everything up for Saturday night's main event, you know. It's been a while since I've done anything, so a lot of stuff has gone down, like between WWE and then New Japan with Takeshita winning the title, and a bunch of stuff went down, you know. So I haven't really been keeping up. I've been keeping up, but I haven't really been recording anything. So I want to jump on and talk about the Hard Times promo. You know, I'm wearing my Hard Times 85 tour shirt. Got to show some love for the Dream, you know? But, yeah, it's been, I've been really busy at work and a little bit of tabletop gaming. Just trying to keep busy and there's a lot of stuff going on. Now with the holidays coming up and stuff like that too, and it's getting really, like I said, it's really, really busy at work, so that's what I've been doing most of, like, just trying to, like, balance that all out. But, I want to jump on and say hello and talk about the promo, so, you know, so, anyway, I could remember around 86, maybe early 86 to spring 86, I was in New York locally. We didn't have any other wrestling except for WWF unless you had cable, but we didn't have cable in the five boroughs. We had cable in, like, the, you know, in the suburbs and, like, New Jersey and stuff like that, you know. And all folks had satellite dishes, but the satellite dishes were so big. I remember my uncle had a satellite dish. He lived in Howell Beach, Queens, and the freaking thing was the size of his backyard. But I didn't watch any wrestling, other wrestling, unless it was a videotape or a rental or, like, when I started tape trading in high school. But in 86, there was a UHF channel, Channel 68, here locally in New York. There were four major channels on UHF. We had 68. We had 31, which is public television, also for Video Music Box, for you hip-hop heads. You know who Video Music Box is, Uncle Ralph McDaniels. And you had U68, which played everything. They had a variety show, this guy Uncle Floyd. They had music videos. They had, and they played Championship Wrestling from Florida. And they played Crockett. They played NWA, Crockett territory. Now, I've talked about this on the show a million times, but the stuff that they would show would be like 6 months after the fact. Good example, when Dusty won his third championship, it was like 6 months later that I saw it. That was like July. I think he won at the Bash of 86. I'm doing this by memory, so please, and I'm working on, like, I've been up for now 16, 17 hours now. So just if I make a mistake, please call me out on it. But I just can remember seeing these promos and being, like, obsessed, you know. Sometimes I would record these, you know, if U68, I would record them. And then I would watch them. Sometimes I would even fast forward the matches and just watch the promos, because you had so many good promos in Crockett at that time. You had obviously Dusty and Flair, and then the beginning of the Horsemen, Anderson, Blanchard, J.J. Dillon. Dillon had Tully first as a manager before he took the role of the Horsemen's manager. You had Jimmy Valiant. You had Paul Jones, Jim Cornette, Gary Hart. You had so many wonderful, wonderful promo cutters. It was ridiculous. And, like, guys would come in and out, and you would get a surplus of all these cool, cool promo. And guys that you didn't see on TV, because, again, you don't have it. So you're reading the magazines, and you're getting the posters, and, you know, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, The Wrestler, Inside Wrestling, Wrestling Eye. There's a few wrestling magazines, but the Apter mags, we call them, the three of them, Inside Wrestling, P-Dub Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and The Wrestler. Those are the three main ones that I would get, you know? So, I was infatuated with the promo. I mean, WWF had great guys cut promos too at that time. You know, obviously you had Hogan, and you had Bobby Heenan and his family. You had Orndorff, you had Stud and Bundy. You had, you know, you go back a little further, you had Backlund cut a good promo, but Superstar Billy Graham, Piper, of course, cut the greatest promos ever, Piper's Pit. I have every Piper's Pit on DVD bootleg. So it's just watching that. I remember educating Hammer when he was like 6 or 7. I made him sit every day after school and watch Piper's Pits over and over again. Like all, I had like 6 discs, and I made him watch all the promos. The art of promo cutting it evolved, okay? And obviously back then it wasn't really scripted like it is now, where guys would just, you know, they had their bullet points, they come out, they say their thing, and that was it, right? That's what you would do. But it was more genuine back then, right? So what would happen was, you know, these promos would be the calling cards of some of these guys. And that's why I fell in love with Dusty Rhodes, because Dusty said it every time. He brought it every single time. Some of them he would talk out of place, or he would miss his words, or he would say stuff that just didn't sound like him. Like he would try to rhyme or do something, say something, but it would work because he had the charisma, you know. You know, I wasn't a big Lex Luger guy, but Luger cut some good promos too. You know, a lot of guys, Sting and Eddie Gilbert, and you know, all those guys had the Road Warriors. Forget it. They and Paul Ellering would they would like sync. You'd have Animal. He'd go to Hawk. Hawk would say, "Tell him, Paul," and then Paul Ellering would just put the icing on his proverbial promo cake and then just finish it out, right? It became an obsession for me because it sold whatever they were doing to me as a 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old, right? It was like what they said was gospel, you know? Before you knew it was predetermined, and before you knew the stuff was written 6 months, a year in advance. A lot of times in the territory days, you really couldn't write long-term stuff because guys would come in and out of promotions. Like with the NWA, there was all these regions, and every region had their own champion. But when Crockett became home base after Mid-Atlantic was absorbed with Georgia and all that shit, you had this lane of that opened up, and guys were coming in, and then when they absorbed UWF, they had guys coming from World Class, you know what I'm saying? And it was beautiful. You know, it was absolutely beautiful. But 40 years ago, today, well, let's go back a few months before that. There was a cage match. I want to say it was in the Omni in Atlanta, and it was Nikita Koloff going against Ric Flair for the title. For all you younger fans of the show, of the podcast, or younger fans in general, the United States and Russia were on bad terms for a very, very, very long time. This goes back to the World War II, and then the 60s with the Cuban Missile Crisis with Russia, and then right into the Cold War, the Cold War shit. Like, it escalated to the point where it was okay to not like Russia. To the point where you would go to a men's clothing store or a store in Manhattan, and like a tourist store, they would have these Russia sucks t-shirts, you know? It was bad, and then everything was like, you know, when the Russians went to the moon with back in the day, it was like a thing where the baby boomers were like, you know, going crazy, but pro wrestling took that and ran with it, you know. In like the 70s, they gave Ivan Koloff the title. And he was the feared Russian, you know what I'm saying? But with Nikita Koloff and Ivan, and then they got Crusher Khrushchev, and you know, they had the whole crew. But and we've spoken about those guys numerous times on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. But there was a time where Russia was the number one enemy of everybody, actually, not just the United States, but mostly the United States. So when they did this, this is one of the only times, too, where you would see a heel fight a heel. You didn't see that in WWF back in the day. You know, they really had a straight-laced heel versus face, and that's it. The only time I saw a face fight another face was in that Wrestling Classic tournament. I think it was Ricky.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Broadcast Podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday nights on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Back in like the 60s and early 70s, but for me, for seeing that, so now when Nikita goes for the title, it's a cage match. Cage matches were primarily a feud ender, okay? did not like today where they just have random cage matches for the sake of having cage matches. They would just take these cage matches and they would have exhausted all of it. They would have these two adversaries would have tag matches against each other. They would have specialty matches against each other, and then with run-ins, interference, managers, valets, whatever you could think of happened. And then when they finally had enough, it was like, all right, you know what? We're going to have it in the cage. Nobody gets in, nobody gets out. Done. Ric Flair, for his time, was the greatest heavyweight champion, period. I mean, we've talked about that in length also, but for several reasons. I mean, because he can work so good, but he wrestled everywhere and everyone. And when you were the world champion at that time for the NWA, you had to defend your belt everywhere. So you go to all the regions in the country. You got to go to Texas. You got to go to Kansas City. You got to go to Oklahoma. You got to go to California. You got to go to, you know, the Pacific Northwest. Don Owens up there. You got to go all the spots. Northeast. You got to go everywhere. Well, Northeast is really WWF, but south of that, you had to go like to Philly and Baltimore and right below New York. You had to go. You know, because at that point, when Vince Sr. broke away from the NWA and formed his own thing, really, the NWA didn't really bother with the... They didn't run shows. They ran shows at the Coliseum in Nassau Coliseum in Long Island. They didn't run shows in the Garden, you know. The closest you would get was the Garden. You would get... or you would get Boston Garden north. North of New York, you'd get Boston and Toronto. So you had these breaks. But Flair had to go everywhere. And Flair had to go to Australia and Japan and New Zealand, and he defended the title everywhere, and he was so good at what he did. So when this force, like Nikita got the push of a lifetime, television championship, U.S. title, he was sixth man. I think they were the world tag team titles holders as well, him and Uncle Ivan. And that was the Rock and Roll Express feud, I think, right? I'm doing it with my memory, because I, you know me, I'm just like, it's like that for me, right? But what happens is they have this match and the match ends, but Flair gets attacked by the Russians. So before the Horsemen, the Horsemen were still like a thing, they were still coming together at that point, but they were friends with Ole and Tully, and Ole and Arn were the tag team champions for a little while. They were the national tag team champions. Tully was the national heavyweight champion. He was the U.S. heavyweight champion. So these guys were always, they were belted up all the time. So the Russians attack them, and Dusty makes the save. Now, you're probably going to ask, when I was a kid, I would ask, like, the hell was he doing? Like, who cares if they attack him? You know, it's bad guy on bad guy. At that point, let them kill each other, right? Dusty's booking. So you know Dusty taking everything with the times. He took everything. And he was one of the greatest minds in the game. He makes the save. Flair's like, I don't need your help. The Horseman like, I don't need your help. You know? And Dusty's like, I'm just making the save. Like, so in Dusty's mind, he's like, well, this is the big bad Russians attacking us. You know, now he's going to help his fellow American, even though I don't like this guy, right? So they go in and they start brawling. They all attack Dusty. They break Dusty's leg, his ankle, kayfabe. And he's laid up, and it's the problem was too, was that it's Atlanta, the Omni, they did the TV tapings in Atlanta, right? TBS, the Superstation, Channel 17. And they would do these, the Omni in Atlanta was the south version of Madison Square Garden. Okay, everything went through the Omni. The Atlanta Hawks played there, and you know, and professional wrestling was there for decades, right? So it's the Omni, and its home base, and the fan base is very pro Dusty. You know, pro face. Period. And a near riot ensues, and the Horsemen can't even leave the cage. Like, you literally see the fans bum rush. They break the barrier. They break through the barrier. They go, not that they break it. I mean, they just took it out and ran, you know, they ran through it and bum rushed the cage. There's not enough police and security for like more than a couple of people at these events. They can't get out of the cage for almost an hour. Like, it was bad. And I, as a kid, I'm thinking like, what's going on? Like, I'm seeing it and I'm like, what are they doing? Like, why are they doing that? Thinking like, oh my God, they're trying to help Dusty, right? And this is when the innocence of kayfabe was in full effect. Like, there was no internet, there was no one had inside information, no one had any of this stuff. They thought it was real, and they thought that Dusty was legitimately hurt, and after all his friends came to help him, Horsemen still can't get out of the cage. And now, with all these guys in the cage with him, you would think that they would go after the Horsemen. Oh no. Because they were trying to stay away from the cops, trying to clear up the mess that was, you know, in the Omni, right? So they get him back, and you know, Dusty's in the back. He cuts this promo, and you know, and then he's out for a little while, kayfabe, and then he comes back tonight, 40 years ago, and he cuts the greatest promo of all time. And it's going to sound biased coming from me, because you guys know how I feel about Dusty, but he's my favorite. But as a 12-year-old seeing that, it made me believe everything he said. You know, he said Ric Flair took hard times. You know, he took food out of my mouth. He took money from me. I couldn't earn. And then he tells you what hard times are. The textile workers and, you know, and the guy who works 30 years and gives him a watch. And I would do the promo, but I'm just too tired to do the Dusty voice. I've been up for a long time, but I'll play it. I'll record this. I'll put the promo out as a podcast, I think. This thing, I'm recording it. Hopefully it'll come out good. The audio, because I'm just the first time I'm doing it with the AirPods. Okay. But Dusty cuts this promo, and it's like, and then he gets, and as he's talking, you know, he's telling the people about the hard times and what you did and what Ric Flair, and then he tells Ric Flair, like, the most important thing to you. Somebody gave me a thumbs down. What the hell was that? I don't know what that is. But the thing that pulls you in, he tells Flair, is like, I know that the most important thing to you is the heavyweight championship. Now I'm going to take it. Because it's not for you, it's for the people. And right there, he's hooked. He's hooked you in. You know? And, let's see what's going on here. Okay. Never mind. I don't want that. What am I doing? Something went wrong, it says. Oh. Blue Jackets are up 2-0 over Toronto. There's no hockey on for me tonight. Well, I could watch that too, Dave, I think. But everybody played. Like, everybody played last night. Who's playing tonight besides them? I can catch the game before I go to bed. Let's see. You know, Dave knows I'm a hockey fanatic. There's only one game on tonight. Yeah. 4-1, 5.5 left in the second period. Yeah, so anyway, as I was saying, the promo itself, so now he brings you in. It's hooked. You're hooked. And he's gotten you believing that because of this injury, I wasn't making money. I wasn't doing anything. I was out. And now I'm going to come for your title, you know. And eventually he did for the third time. It took him a few months, though. It took him a few months to do that. But it's the greatest promo for its time, and you want to compare it to Flair's Rolex wearing, the Buddy Landell one, which is amazing. And Dusty has a few more, too. Dusty's got the baby doll one. You know, if you put your hands on this lid, I smack them nips on the side of your face. You know, does that. You like this hat? You better like this hat. You know, and there's a few of them, though. The Sausage Maker promo he did. He did the one with Bula Bula. He did the one with the gorilla with Dick Slater. He needed a partner. He had this gorilla in a cage, somebody in a gorilla suit for like a month, you know. And it was like you know, for the time, and there was so many good ones too. Like, and I mentioned a whole bunch of people: Gary Hart, Jim Cornette, Bobby Heenan. But there's so many guys that cut great promos, you know. But Dusty was the only guy that can do it and back it up, like Flair and Arn Anderson. Like, those guys just, you know, they talked it, they walked it. A lot of guys just cut promos, and that was it. Like, Jimmy Valiant, love him to death, but wasn't a great wrestler, but he cut a great promo, you know. But that promo was the greatest promo ever. And you can compare it to anything Hogan did, Rock, Austin. I'll go back to Steve Austin, ECW, when he was got fired from WWF, and he was Steve Amania. He comes out of the dumpster, and he's got the, you know, or he was making fun of Eric Bischoff. Or Cactus Jack's promos in ECW were brilliant. There was two in particular. He did the one with the Tommy Dreamer one to sell out. And then there's another one. He talks about his uncle and getting attacked by a shark and some other shit. I go back to ECW again. How about Shane Douglas? The night he won the NWA title, cut the promo, trashed everyone, threw 50-something years of that belt in the garbage, and proclaimed himself ECW champion. So there's so many great promos, man. You can go back, and there's so many great, great, great promo cutters. But Dusty, again, this stuff wasn't written, and it wasn't written. They had bullet points. They were gonna come out. I'm fighting this guy. Here's what I have to say, and that's it. And it made sense. And these little segments in between matches for the Superstation shows, they were 2 hours, right? 6:05, and you know, you like I said, I would fast forward some of the matches just to hear the promos, and it builds up. And again, there's no pay-per-view. Pay-per-views were just starting. You had to, and then you had the Clash of the Champions and all that, which again, Dusty made. Dusty invented that. He invented the War Games and Tower of Doom, and like the booking side of it had to be a challenge because like it was territory, so guys coming in and out. You know, it was like a deal, right? So how you know, when you're making yourself the champion or you're making yourself the focal point, you know, you got to come correct. If you're gonna write the story and then interject yourself in the story, you got to be good. And it was good. And I'm not taking anything away from, because Flair was amazing. Flair, it's like 1A, 1B. And then The Rock comes right in after that a bunch of years later. And like I said, I mentioned Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard. There's so many good guys that cut promos in that. I go back as far as Kevin Sullivan with Championship Wrestling from Florida when he was the cult leader and the Purple Haze. You know, he had Mark Lewin coming out of the water. He got Bob Roop. Like, that shit was crazy for its time. Like, you can't get any better than that. You know, you can't. But Dusty was the premiere, and this is the 40 years. And on the way home tonight, I watched it like 3 times on the bus, and I was so, I get emotional when I watch it sometimes, because it brings me back to a really special time in my life, where things at home were really bad. I was raised by a single parent home, but I mean, when there was another parent there, it wasn't really good. So when that was going on, I latchkeyed myself a lot of times, and I would go in the back room and watch wrestling every weekend. But the U68 stuff was every day, like every other day, a couple of days a week. And I would, sometimes they would preempt it, but you don't know because there's no TV guide. There's no cable. There's no anything. So all that Crockett stuff was constantly like in the past, and I'm seeing it 3, 4, 6 months later. So it was, for me, it was the greatest time of my life on watching TV, and when I could relate to the magazines. You know, I would read the magazines, and I think it was The Wrestler or Inside Wrestling. One of them had they had in the back of the magazine, they would have like matches or card recaps, you know, and it would say like the town, like Waco, Texas, NWA, and give you results and a date and whatever. And then you would follow it. My local newspaper in New York had a wrestling column, The Slammer, it was called. Guy wore a mask, like a potato sack on his head. And he would post results from all these matches, like the big matches, the NWA matches. I remember the Bunkhouse Stampede was at the Nassau Coliseum. I couldn't go, but the next day I read the result, you know, in The Slammer. And then years later, he had the same column. Then he had 900 number, and that started a whole thing in the late 80s, early 90s, and stuff like that. So, but getting all this stuff secondhand, I didn't care. And like I said, I would just record the stuff, and I would just, you know, straight up watch it like that. And I watched these promos over and over and over. And when I started doing a podcast 13 years ago, about 4 or 5 years in, I had a soundboard. You guys remember I used to play all the Dusty quotes and Dusty promos. And I still have the soundboard. I just don't play it anymore because I, you know, kind of lost. It was a better vibe with the co-hosts, you know. So I'm not going to lie about it. But it's so near and dear to me. And it's 40 years old already. So I'm showing my age. It's been wonderful recapping that, you know, and thank God for WWE Network. The network stuff that they moved to Peacock is still there, even though it's edited. And thank God for YouTube, because there are folks that post the original stuff that's unedited. Brilliant. I know you can't live in the past, and you can't really, you know, the industry evolved, obviously, to what it is now. I'm watching AEW, and you're looking at these guys called promos right now in the ring. It's like they take a little bit from the guys in the past, and I like that. You know, like I'm watching, there's a Mark Briscoe right now is cutting a promo on Moxley's guys, you know, his crew against their crew. They're going to do a War Games match. Why not? All these guys are intertwined. We're going to go in a cage. Let's get it done. But they take pieces of the past and they bring it to the front. And a lot of guys and girls in this current era of pro wrestling have really done a really good job of doing that. A lot of the superstars that were trained in Florida, the Seth Rollinses and those guys, and Roman Reigns and those guys, that was all Dusty. Dusty ran that before it was NXT. So there's always a Dusty influence somewhere, you know? And Dustin does a good job, and so does Cody, keeping that spirit alive, you know? That last game holds weight, and it'll hold weight forever and ever. And I feel like that promo allowed everybody that came after that to set a bar, like the Rocks and the Austins and even Flair. Like, when I guarantee you, like, Flair heard that and was like, oh, I gotta follow that, you know. And Flair idolized Dusty, you know, he was a mentor, you know. But you watch the promo, seriously, watch the promo, and even if you got to watch it again, just watch it and think about what was going on at that time. And think about stuff that goes on now when there's feuds and these guys and girls come out and they cut promos and it's like, it gets heated and it gets like, you know, really into it. And like, you know, CM Punk did that for me for a while. You know, he would cut good promos like that before the pipe bomb stuff and that nonsense. But there are a couple of guys that just had it. Triple H had it for a little while. He did it. You know, there's a lot of guys that did it and did it well. You know? You know, Hogan was an incredible promo cutter. You know? He would sell it, whatever he was doing. He had a match. It was a feud. Cut the promo. Sold it. His promos were better than his matches. Wasn't really good in the ring here, anyway. Better in overseas, and when he got to WCW, he got a little better, but I mean, you know, Hogan was right up, it's right up there with Flair and Dusty and guys like that, you know. If you can talk your way into that business and be well at it, sometimes you don't even have to be very good in the ring, you know. I mentioned Jimmy Valiant before, like, you know. But that was something, you know. I'm going to get some crap for this. So when I say it's the greatest promo, and there's so many, like, in the last 40 years, you know, even 50 years, if you go back to the early, late 70s with the Billy Grahams and guys like that, you know. But I don't know if there's anything better than Hard Times. Nothing. Nothing. Because he reached out to every common person. Before he was the common man, if you will, he was letting people know, like, hey, I'm just like you, and I'm going through it. And that was it. How do you top that? How do you top that? You know, you can come out and cut a 3-minute promo and tell me how you want to beat me up and kill me and you want to do this to me and that to me. But how do you do that and then reach out to the audience at the same time? Like, only he can do that like that. Only he did that. Whoever was in the crowd, that was a truck driver or a gardener or a stock person, stock boy, stock girl, or if you're a police officer, if you're a garbage man. All these folks were in the ring, in the crowd, I mean, and they heard that, and they're like, wow, Dusty's just like me. He looks like me, and he says in the promo, my hiney's a little big, my belly's a little big, but brother, I'm bad, and they know I'm bad, you know? There are only two people in this world that are bad. John Wayne and me. You know? Compares himself to the Duke. You know? If you don't know who John Wayne is, do your homework. It's a very famous actor from his era. You know, and he was a legit tough guy too, apparently, allegedly. But I took so much from that as a kid. It grabbed me so well, you know. And then right around that time, Saturday Night's Main Event started. And the promos in the beginning were amazing. They sold it. Whatever matches they had, they told you. They came out. They did their thing. You heard the music from Man in Motion. That was it. You knew. You were in for it. For the next 90 minutes, you were in for it. It could set the tone. A really good promo could set the tone for an entire night of wrestling. Like, even if you're not on the card and you're cutting a promo to hype something or for a future thing, like, if I've seen, like, pay-per-views or, you know, live events where folks weren't even on the card as performers, they were cutting promos for their stuff, and I'm like, they stole the show. Eddie Kingston does that all the time. He cut a promo 2 weeks ago. He said, we're going to be at the pay-per-view. They weren't. At the time, they said they were going to be there. They didn't show up. But because he said he was going to be there, and the way he put it forward, I'm like, oh, well, it sold me. You know, if I had to buy it, I would buy it. I didn't have to buy it, thank God. But this is what it is. And 40 years ago today, it set a precedent. It set the tone for everything else. That's just my opinion. You know, you can disagree, and you could tell me in the comments or shoot me an email or whatever, or put it on the group page, what you thought was the greatest promo of all time. And you're going to get different generations. You're going to get some ECW ones, probably. You're going to get some Attitude Era ones. You're going to get some of my era, probably. But ain't nobody did it better than the Dream. Not at all. Not at all. So, sorry there's not enough people here tonight. I did it, like, last minute. I should have did this. Should have planned it. But I was, I've been so tired and I've been so stressed out with work and stuff going on here at home that I really haven't even cut anything really to record. I did record something a few weeks ago and I sounded really angry on it and I stopped it. I am going to have a guest on in the next couple of weeks. I have to get in touch with him. My friend ST Patrick, he's got a wrestling game that is fantastic. He's a game designer. I met him in May. And then I met him up again in August in Canton, Ohio at the Hall of Fame when I went to the gaming thing with Big Bro Vinny and Joey Cards. But we, ST and I hooked up and I was like, listen, man, he's a fan and he's around my age. So he basically made this game and it's the game itself is really good. It's I've messed with it a little bit, but then he has different source books like Dungeons and Dragons, but these source books are territories. It's phenomenal. But the opening to this to the core book itself is the reason why he's a fan. And why it really grabbed me, you know. So ST reached out to me about 3 weeks ago. He's like, listen, I want to come on the show. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to make that happen. I'll reach out to him this weekend, maybe. And we'll set something up and I'll be in a future episode. He's a good guy. And he made a really cool college football game. And he's got a bunch of stuff. And I'll plug all his stuff when he's about to come on. I'll plug all his stuff. And his wife, Jen, is on social media, too. So I'll plug all his stuff, and we'll do that. What else? I mentioned Saturday Night's Main Event. That's there's titles being fought for. I believe the world title is being fought for with Jey Uso and Punk. Seth Rollins got hurt. They had to give it up. So there's some titles on the line. The John Cena tour is continuing. It's coming to a close. I still think he's going to fight at WrestleMania. But people disagree with me, but I don't know about that. I am not. I'm watching the the tag tournament in Japan. I'm not watching every night. I'm just catching up as we go along. I watch the finals. Building up Wrestle Kingdom. Still haven't had an opponent for Tanahashi. I think it's gonna be Nakamura. I think they're gonna let him fight Tanahashi in Japan. They have to. Who else is Tanahashi gonna fight for his last match? Is he gonna put one of the young boys over? Can't go out as if you're gonna win, that's the way to do it. If you're gonna either win close or lose, it's gotta be against a veteran. You have to. Right, Augie? Anyway, yeah, so I've been watching. I watched a little TNA too recently. That last pay-per-view wasn't bad. The Dudleys and the Hardys had a match that was, men's and men's. Dudleys allegedly retired again. See how that goes. Was never a big fan of them anyway, but I digress. Today's the anniversary of Halloween Havoc, I want to say 95. Oh, God. I remember we did that. Choppy and I did that pay-per-view. That's what in Detroit with Hogan and the Giant doing the monster trucks on top of Cobo Hall. It's really insane. So stupid. But that card was actually pretty good. I think that was Johnny B. Badd and DDP for the TV title. That was a good match, too. That was the coming out party for Johnny B. Badd, you know. But that was, you know, up until the Monster Trucks, that wasn't terrible. That was all Kevin Sullivan too, man. Another great promo cutter in his time. They're all dropping like flies. Just read recently that Mike Rotunda was in hospice care. He is, but he isn't. And I can actually, they clarified it today, but I'm going to break it down for you because this is actually something I know about because I do it for work. So I am an EMT. I'm also a dispatcher, right? And when I do, sometimes I also arrange transportation for my hospital for discharges, for outpatient stuff. And I've taken a lot of these people in and out of these nursing homes that are also subacute rehabs. And some of these rehabs rehab/nursing homes, they have hospice units. So he was probably in a hospice unit. So when Barry Windham spoke, he didn't really speak at a turn. But Mike Rotunda isn't in hospice. He was in hospice care, which means he's probably on a floor where there's terminally ill people and people in his condition that have to be. It's almost like a casual intensive care unit. It's like being in an ICU, but being not in an ICU, right? That's basically what it is. But palliative care is palliative care, obviously. But yeah. But either way, Mike Rotunda's in bad shape, so keep him in your prayers. I'm one of my favorites. Loved him as a tag team wrestler. Loved him with Barry Windham, US Express. I loved him with the Varsity Club, one of my favorite factions ever. Why they never brought that back is beyond me. And then he was with, as IRS, he was with DiBiase. They were Money Inc. They were the tag champions too. So he's multiple-time tag team champion. Him and Barry Windham got into the Hall of Fame last year. So, yeah, keep him in your prayers. Yeah, so... You know, these dirt sheets, do a terrible job of copying and pasting what wrestlers post or what other sites post, and it's like it's clickbait, you know? They click it, they want you to come on it, and then they want you to read their stuff, and that's it, right? The problem with that is, though, there's so many, and like I tell people all the time, like I never want to be first, I want to be right. I took that from Don Tony, and Kevin Castle, rest in peace. I want to be right, you know? I don't care about being first. And I wasn't really one to drop news anyway. Like, you know, I'll let Shaylin do that now because she basically runs the page. And I know Rob does too. Put some stuff on there. They put more stuff on there than I do. But the it really turns me away from doing this. Just seeing that sometimes, it's like, it's just there's so much negativity and toxicity in the internet wrestling community. It's so bad. And as an older fan, I get so discouraged, you know. I just don't want to be the bitter old man, get off my lawn stuff. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be that guy. So I really try to be optimistic. This is not for me. I'm entertained by it, and I love professional wrestling. I will always watch professional wrestling no matter where I am, no matter how old I am. This is not my wrestling, and I have to accept that. It's not what I grew up with. It's not what I know and love from the past. It's still wrestling. It's still entertaining, and I will take good and bad with anything I watch. And I think a good fan will do that. And I've said that on the show a million times. You know, if you're a fan, if you're a true fan of pro wrestling, and you can differentiate between the talent, work rates, and the sports entertainment of it, then you're ahead of it. And you had it figured out before it even started, you know? And I taught that to my son. I taught that to other guys I co-hosted with. Like, you know, it's you could take anything and find something good with it. Screw the ratings. Screw the bullshit backstage drama stuff. You know, all week, clickbaits. Chris Jericho is coming back to WWE. Chris Jericho is going to retire and with WWE, he's gonna go on the retirement tour. He's gonna, you know, Fozzy's gonna play. I've read one thing that he's coming back, either at the Rumble or on Saturday, like he's, and that Fozzy's playing WrestleMania. Like, who writes this shit? Like, you know, would that be cool? Absolutely, and he deserves to go out like that. He's a legend, you know. I just want these kids to be healthy, and I want them to keep performing, and I want fans to keep going to these shows, even though it's very expensive now. Entertainment, period, is you pay a premium for entertainment. You know, we can agree on that. Whether it's a movie, I went to a Broadway show recently, and I paid like almost $600 for two tickets. It was a present, but like this was months ago. I bought the tickets like late last year or early this year. I think I bought them for September, and it was so expensive, you know. But you pay a premium for entertainment. You go to a movie now for two people. It's almost $40 just to walk in. You're getting popcorn. I'm getting something to drink. Getting a large gimmick soda, right? Getting popcorn. Whoever you're with's gonna want some candy, right? Or something. Or pretzels or nachos or whatever, right? So it's an easy $100 when you're walking into a movie now. You know? Concerts, forget about it, man. Forget about concerts. I am I want to get tickets for Iron Maiden. I think they come out Friday. I'm dreading that price for next year. I'm dreading it. Dreading it. But I have to go. It's Maiden. It's Anthrax. And somebody else. Maiden, Anthrax, and Megadeth. Come on, man. I have to be there. You know, these guys are like pushing 70. You know? Before they go out. You know? You pay a premium for entertainment. That's my point. So I want them to be healthy. I want asses in seats at every show. I want them to chant. I want them to be happy. I just want wrestling to be a constant, you know? And the only thing WWE did good is marketing, you know, with this global audience. The whole merger thing screwed them with the tickets and stuff like that, because now you can't even afford to go. I was talking to Steph the other night. She's like, I want to get you tickets for Cena's last show in the Garden. I'm like, no, don't do that. She's like, I can't. She's like, it's insane. The prices were insane. And it's... Would it be nice to see John Cena in the Garden one more time? Absolutely. Is it worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to sit in Madison Square Garden? No, it's not. It's not a WrestleMania. It's not SummerSlam. It's not Survivor Series. Royal Rumble. I think the only thing I have not done with the Big Four is the Royal Rumble. So that's probably my big final wrestling expense. Whether it's local or I have to fly somewhere, I will be going to a Royal Rumble in the next couple of years. Just to say I've done it all. I've did all four. I've been to three Manias. I've been to three SummerSlams. I've been to Survivor Series once. Do Royal Rumble, and I got the Big Four, as they say, right? So that's my goal, is to do that, you know. And of course, when New Japan comes, I think they're coming in February. Every New Japan show I try to go to, because they're good. When they come to the States, it's good because they go all out. They hardly here, you know. When they do come here, it's usually on the West Coast. But now they go to Chicago, New York, you know. And it's, oh, there's Megan Bain. Oh, my goodness. I still can't believe Joey Janela was tapping at. God bless him. But anyway, I digress. So that's, you know, that's what's been going on. I think the Marathoners this weekend, so they're going to be shutting the boroughs down. I ain't going nowhere on Sunday. For real. The clocks get turned back, too, I think. And why is Tony Schiavone wearing it's Halloween Fright Night? Okay. He's wearing a Phantom of the Opera mask. Speaking of Phantoms, they had on YouTube, WWE had a WCW Halloween Havoc watch party. And this is the one that Rick Rude, I think it was 91, 92, Rick Rude came out as the Halloween Phantom. And Paulie comes out and he forms Dangerous Alliance. He's like, you know, I got fired from my broadcasting job, but I have a manager's license, and I picked out a guy who's gonna beat up Sting for me. He takes off the mask and it's Rick Rude, and I'm like, I popped again, like 35 years later, I popped, you know. So I get it. Still a mark, still a fan. I've talked way too much. I am going to bed. I am exhausted. I have another day of this tomorrow. And then I can start my weekend. So here we go. I'll put out the date when I'm going to have my guest on. If you guys have any promos that you like to compare Dusty's with, please, by all means, post them in the comments. Email them to me, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. We do have Twitter and Instagram. I hardly ever use them. I'm usually on here. Just shout me out over here on the group page. Or reach out to Shaylin or Rob, and they'll help you too. So if you do that, you know, I want to see some promos. Tell me which are better. I there's none for me anyway. And we have shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. support the Shining Wizards and the Shining Wizards Network. Support all of our network friends and family. Support all my tabletop people too. Digital to Dice and James Cass and those cats. Support everybody. Support your scene, your local wrestling scene, and support pro wrestling, period. And don't forget to be a good person. Don't be a jerk off. Be kind to animals, okay? If you're local, don't forget to vote this week, coming up soon, for New York mayor elections. And that's it. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much. And I will see you soon. Peace. Peace.